the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. But we grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those women old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
game is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Everybody, it's old Shazia's here. I'm out here in my mad science laboratory. If I'm feeling a little, sounding a little off today, it's because I've been in bed for about a week. I've been sicker than a dog and in pain. And so with that said, if I'm not as exciting as I usually am, that's the reason why. Either way, while I was laying there during the week, I had a lot of time to think about things and put everything in perspective and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, I believe, it's my firm belief, that we've got every single thing that we need and all the pieces in place to actually once and for all prove free energy to the world. That's a bold statement coming from a crazy old mad science guy, but I've been saying it all along that if you can't find free energy, you're simply not looking hard enough. It was all a matter of finding the pieces of the puzzle and putting them together. You know, things that you could do to tap into nature's energy, the energy that's all around us. And a lot of different researchers came into play in order to bring me to this conclusion, and different devices that people have been researching for quite some time. Ryan's working with the Slayer Exciter out there, and Coltus is doing the atmospheric motor, and there's just so much more, so many pieces to the puzzle. But like I said, it's my firm belief that we're on the doorstep of actually being able to put something out there to the public to prove once and for all what we've been saying all this time. And so with that said, stay tuned to Shaziz Radio and all the different researchers out there, because if you have the opportunity, go out there and get a list of all the names of all the researchers that's been working here with us, because when we put a certain video out, we're going to do it simultaneously on all channels so that everyone gets an opportunity to download the information before any monkey business occurs or anything like that. And so with that said, we got Coltus on here, and I believe we got Mitko, do we?
Yeah, there's myself, Coltus the Grand, as always, and we have Mitko, all the way from
Bulgaria.
I always go blank on that for some reason. I don't know why. And we have the Honorable Sir Larry Woods with us.
Cool, and I forgot to mention Larry, too, because Larry's got some research that has to do with what it is that we're talking about as well. Apologize for that, Larry. I'm just not feeling very well. Been in bed all week, and I'm just barely holding my head up right now.
Oh, you're feeling better.
Oh, I'll get better. It's only a matter of time. It's just, you know, it's part of life, I guess. But anyway, I'm really excited about this whole situation because, like I said, I had a lot of time to sit there and think about all the different deals, and I've already put it all together in my head. I see so many different potentials in so many different areas. We've already been there, you know. We've already proven free energy. It's just a matter of putting a device together, irrefutable, that would show the world that what we've been saying all along is, you know, fact and not fantasy. And so, you know, with that said, all of our research has come into play for the reason why I'm saying what it is that I'm saying. And I don't have any direct time frame as far as how fast that we could accomplish, but the reason why I want everybody to go out there and subscribe to everybody's YouTube who's involved on this deal, because when we do get it down, we're going to put it out there fast and furious so that nobody can stop it or whatever, you know. Let the debunkers fly all they want, but you know, we've already got an ace in the hole. And so with that said, you guys got any ideas? Or you think I'm insane or what?
No, by my count, actually, we've got three aces in the hole. Two of them can be spoken about, and one of them is no one's business just yet.
Yeah, well, I say one because I just want to be conservative, but I know we got a lot more going on than that, but. Yeah. You know, there's we've learned a lot of things from each other, and we've taught each other a lot of things. And OSHA's is paid attention in science class, and we've had a lot of you know, good discussions behind the scenes, some of which I wish had been recorded, and some of which I'm glad weren't recorded, because you know, I think we've all earned the recognition that we're going to get from this whole deal, and it's not about getting recognition, but it is just deserved for all the hard research and work we've done behind the scenes, that you know, people know that we had a part in this deal.
Yeah, for sure. But as we all know, we never came to this for the notoriety. So happens to be that we get screwed out of a bit of notoriety for what we achieve. You know, so long as the world reaps that benefit, I can kind of live with that. I mean, sure, I'm not going to be impressed,
well, brother,
by it.
After what happened,
I'm not going to be jumping up and down. So, you know,
after what happened to Tesla, you know, Tesla's going to be vindicated. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
after what happened to Tesla, I'm not going to allow that happen to all these researchers that's been assisting us behind the scenes and working on things. You know, maybe we won't get our name in the science book, but we will get our name in the book of rebels against the laws of physics, I'll tell you that.
Yep, for sure.
You know, and we're not necessarily scared. We're not necessarily defying the laws of physics per se, but we're using things that we've learned from nature to, instead of having the drawbacks, you know, like Lenz's law and all that kind of stuff. We're using what we know to not have to deal with those kind of things.
The thing has always been that we've never tried to break the laws of physics. We've tried to exploit the rules of physics.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, just for our listeners out there, I want you to, if you have the means, take a sheet of paper in your hands. If you don't, just imagine, because this is a pretty simple test. You take a piece of paper, just a flat, normal sheet of paper, without bending it or scrunching it or do anything, throw it across the room. Now, it didn't go very far. Now, I want you to take that same piece of paper, I want you to screw it up into a ball, and now throw it across the room. Now, all you've done is manipulated the piece of paper and managed to get it to do an entirely different thing.
Exactly.
That's what we're trying to do with energy. We're not trying to make the paper be something different that it's not. We're trying to squeeze it through the keyhole, if necessary.
Well,
we're willing to exploit the laws that exist in nature already. You know, I mean, it's there right for the taking. Static energy, you know, energy from the sky, universal energy, zero-point energy, whatever you'd like to call it, it's there. It's the energy that holds all your molecules together in your body and keeps you vibrating to be you. It's what pushes the stars through the solar system. It's all the same energy, you know?
Yeah, and to back
it's
up...
It's the same energy that we pull out of the wall, though it's slightly modified coming out of the wall, and by slightly I mean completely and utterly bastardized, but you know, slightly modified energy, it's all the same stuff. It's a vibration, it's a frequency, and that's what everything in existence is. So if you can imagine, you know, this universe that is just a vast sea of energy, and you just have to work out a way of tapping into that vast sea of energy, and you're going to end up with an abundance of energy that you could never ever go through as an entire race in their entire existence.
To back
and I'm going to call that free energy, you know.
Yeah, to back up the example that you used with the paper, you know, there are trillions and trillions of frequencies out there. I mean, they're flowing continuously all day long, every day, you know, all year. You know, and they never stop, and the energy's still there, you know, and we only use a small range in our electrical systems, you know, within a certain hertz range in order to be able to run things without burning them up. But, you know, with that said, that energy's still there, the potential is still there, it just people haven't figured out a way by which to use it, and I believe that that's what we've accomplished, that... we're going to take the energy that's already there, and instead of driving it up to, like, say, 60 hertz, which would be maybe the max on an electric motor so that the insulation on the copper coils don't burn up and, you know, still be able to get the current flow that we need to actually do things, and to go against the Lenz effect or, you know, the back EMF, then we're going to use that energy in just a slightly different manner to where we can still store the energy and use it for real work, then, you know, not have to worry about that direct coupling of the magnetic fields that's actually, you know, slowing things down, you know, the energy losses that everybody talks about, whether it be heat or friction or whatever. Am I wrong? Did I lose you guys?
No, you're dead right, and this is one of the hugest things that people sort of get the misconception with our research versus current technology, is that everything that has ever been manufactured electrically has been designed to be wasteful with energy. Now, put your hand over the back of your computer monitor right now, and you feel heat. That's energy. That is a form of, you know...
And it doesn't...
I just can't even, you know... How do you explain this to somebody? Like, it's... Every single thing that exists, from light to heat to you to,
and
you
doesn't,
know,
it doesn't
the screwdriver on your desk, your glasses, the frames of your glass, every single thing is energy, is a vibration. So you know, we're wasting a lot in current technology. This is what we do. We design a system to be as wasteful as humanly possible, and then we can turn around and charge people for it.
Yeah, and it doesn't
but
take...
Even physics themselves. Well, I want to throw one right at physics here, considering we're always trying to break the laws of physics. I'm actually going to use a law of physics. Hey, you never thought you'd see the day.
Man.
Energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It can only be converted into something else. So if energy cannot be created nor destroyed, then where the hell is the power companies getting it from?
Yeah.
Hey, there's a question.
Well, the thing about it is, all these appliances out here don't require as much energy as being used. That's where the heat loss is coming in. When you're forcing a frequency wave down copper wire, you know, you're going to get pressure buildup. You're going to get backlog of, atoms, electrons slamming into each other, creating friction, which in turn is going to create heat. And what we're talking about is only using the required amount to actually move that electron to begin with, instead of going to the extreme of brute force, forcing
That's
these electrons
brute
from,
force.
Yeah,
yep.
from point A to point B.
Yep.
You know, what's the difference of just stimulating it enough that you actually get that electron flow without the extra heat and stuff involved? All you have to do to have electricity flow is to move that electron. The energy released from one electron changing places on one atom onto the next atom is amazing. And the only reason why you're creating heat is because you're trying to cram it through,
friction.
Yeah.
Friction. Literally consider those little electrons as like marbles running across a table or something, you know? I mean, just run your hand across a nice surface, you know? You feel that grippy feeling, you know? Obviously, that's friction.
Yep.
Electrons moving through a wire do the same thing. They all try to cram through there so hard and so fast, and they kind of get jammed up and bunched up a little bit, and they start, you know, rubbing against each other, and they create all this heat, and that's where your wire glows and bursts, you know?
For everyone out there who, you know, really doesn't know a whole lot about electricity, there's a little experiment you can try. Go out there and get you a party balloon and blow the thing up, and get you an old pork and bean can or something like that, you know, and turn the light off. Rub this balloon across your hair, you know, just build up a charge of extra electrons on that balloon, and then put that balloon in the general vicinity of that can, and you will notice an arc go across there. There's a mathematical equation that you can do by the actual length of the arc going across that will tell you how many volts just occurred through there. And when you calculate it up, you know, it's a pretty substantial voltage amount that's actually just jumped from that balloon to that can. And so, you know, with that said, when you do that, feel that can. The can's not hot. The balloon's not hot. You know, you just transferred a massive amount of electricity via the air to the can from the balloon, but yet you didn't create no heat and no friction. And this is kind of a simple way of explaining what it is that we're talking about doing. You understand where I'm coming from, brother?
Yeah, no, it's a pretty good example, actually. I like that.
Yeah, well, if you look at things like the Wimshurst and the Lord Kelvin generator, you'll notice that even though you got thousands of volts flowing through to and fro each of them, you're not creating friction and you're not creating heat. There's no heat loss whatsoever in a Lord Kelvin generator or in a Wimshurst. You know?
Lord Kelvin's thunderstorm, for those of you sitting there scratching your head wondering what this is on about.
Yeah, and the thing is, you're talking about enough voltage that can literally kill you when they go into a capacitor bank and that energy stored. You know, at first, if you're just grabbing onto it, the spark coming into the air, you know, it'll shock the crap out of you, but it don't have the danger factor that it would be if it was in, say, 8,000 microfarad capacitor. You know, now you're talking about, well, even with an 800 microfarad capacitor, that's enough to blow your finger completely off
your
hand.
Your finger's not going to be there when you touch it.
Yeah, there's a lot of working force behind that, and there wasn't no back EMF created from jumping across there and charging that thing up. And so you don't have the, am I saying the word right because my brain ain't working, the lens effect, the back EMF?
Yep. Yeah, well, the lens effect is that like cogging effect you
get
to generate.
Yeah, you don't get that. When you're not getting that load that, you know, because of the coupling back to the field.
Yeah.
With that said...
Sorry, go on.
With that said, and now you got all this energy potential, you know, you can get the same amount of work done that you do normally on demand with the right system. It's not that big of a deal. We've showed it in smaller systems, such as this latest one that I did where the solar-powered Tesla coil. It's only a 4.5-volt system that's running off the sun and charging a battery, but the energy that's released when that thing pulses is incredible. And it's enough that even as low as it's running right now, it's able to light up a second coil that isn't connected to anything but the ground. Now, granted, on the system that I showed in the video, it's only a little tiny LED lighting up, but that's still... If you was to sit down and do the mathematical calculations of the entire deal, you've got a lot of energy potential going on there, and that and the fact that I was able to disrupt a monitor that was 6 feet away from the same coil. So, you know, this is what we're talking about. As opposed to using brute force to move the electrons, we found ways by which we can actually just stimulate the energy and get it to flow and then store it and then reuse it in a different manner than what we're accustomed to. Don't everybody jump to the mic at once.
Yeah, what do you get the other two in here? What are they doing? Lousing about over there in the corner.
Oh, their jaws sitting on the floor. They're in awe right now. I know Larry's mind's ticking. What's on your mind, Larry?
Hit the mute button.
Harry, you got to push that button.
There we go. I'm trying to unmute my mic.
There he is.
You know Larry can't operate a computer with a hood.
You got a brilliant mind, but don't know where that microphone button's at.
Absolutely. What button do I mash next?
Oh, man.
Yeah, you just place your nose right between G and H, Larry, and roll your face left or right, no?
How did you know how I type? I know it's real easy.
So what are you thinking about, Larry? I know your brain's ticking.
The magnetic fields are going crazy. That's what we're actually doing with all this. We're manipulating the electromagnetic fields and letting it do what it can do. We're not preventing this stuff. We're not choking it like the existing Westinghouse and GE transformers and coils. We don't have the power by the neck. We've got it by the hand and are leading it. We're not forcing it to go anywhere.
And when that electron changes places with another electron, the same magnetic field is created. And so you don't have to brute force it across there, and that's what we've been trying to say all along. All you got to do is tap into it.
It's like hydrogen. You don't have to have 10 or 20 amps to create hydrogen. Hydrogen can be created with 0.05 amps. You don't have to force it. When you use lower amperage, you get better results.
Yeah, when you do force it, then you get byproducts such as heat, and it destroys your anode and your cathode.
Exactly, and the Brown's gas and all the bad stuff.
Yeah, I tell you what, the work that Russ Grease has put into on HHO research has been phenomenal. Like, I saw a couple of the modules while I was there recently. Absolutely fantastic. Like, he has put so much care and thought into those. Like, if anyone's going to pull that side of the research off, it will be Russ. Most people aren't even aware that Stan Myers used not only the electrolyzing of the cell, but he also used lasers and radio frequencies.
Yep.
In the separation of the HHO from the water. molecule.
Because what he realized was that you didn't have to brute force it. You could stimulate it and
bombard it.
Yeah.
You could bombard it with small little waves of all different frequencies.
And he knew it was
out of sound or normal light wavelengths, you know.
The thing I don't understand is the average Joes out there, they're using microwaves on a daily basis. They're using radio transmitters and, you know, your cell phone is incredible technology. And as far as you can transmit through one of these cell phones to a tower and then that transmits to another tower, this should be common sense. This kind of stuff right here, I mean, look at the microwave. What's actually going on in the microwave is pretty impressive, and a lot of people are afraid
scary.
Of their they're afraid of their microwave because they think they're going to fry their face out. But I've literally had an entire microwave apart, and then I tested the beam and the beam length while this thing was completely out of its normal environment, such as the metal casing and the Faraday cage in front of it.
And you could see it had no lasting effect on Shaziz.
That's right, and it would only travel 2 inches out of that antenna to its full strength. Now, keep in mind, the microwave's still there. It's still transmitting. But its danger zone was only 2 inches in front of the antenna itself. And so when you send that into a metal container, essentially what you got is a ricochet effect. It comes in at a slight angle, and then the frequency bounces around inside the microwave. So it's like throwing a basketball in a concrete room, you know, a square concrete room. You slam it off the wall, and as much energy as it's got, it's going to keep on reflecting off the walls until it finally...
It's like playing a game of squash, mate.
Yeah. Until...
You got the little room... They're them oversized long tennis rackets and that solid rubber ball, and they beat it around that glass room.
Yep.
For those of you listeners who didn't know which particular sport I was referring to, but yeah, that's literally what Shaziz is referring to the microwave. It's that little black ball he's put in there and thrown in there so hard and fast that it does 20 laps before it dies out and disappears.
Yeah. And so with that said, in the sweet spot of that energy potential, when that microwave is actually in there, since water is a dipole molecule, it has both a positive and a negative pole on there, then as the wave is coming through, when it's peaking from north to south, it has enough energy potential to rock that water molecule back and forth, which literally in turn creates friction, which in turn creates heat. Now, if you put water in a microwave and you put it in there, like say, for an hour, you know, You're gonna turn that into steam and possibly even potentially get yourself a hydrogen explosion going on, because it's still rocking them water molecules. You're at some point when you flash it into steam, you're going to separate the hydrogen and oxygen from one another, and then all it takes from that point on is a spark potential, and you got an ignition. So. You know, I'm not saying go blow your microwave up to prove the point, but that's exactly how
it
works.
Get it on video.
That's why they tell you not to throw water on an electrical fire, because the moment you do, the heat...
It's the hydrogen.
Yeah. You get an instant hydrogen explosion. And I've seen it real time. It's, trust me, it's not something you want to do close up.
It's very, very instantaneous, unfortunately. That's a, you know, I mean, that's the both good thing and probably the ultimately worst thing about hydrogen as a fuel is, you know...
It's dangerous. Well,
yeah, for those of you who have never seen hydrogen explode firsthand, it is amazing to watch, because it's not like any other fuel you've seen where it literally chases itself through with a flame. It just goes bang, and every single molecule in that cloud turns back to water instantaneously.
Yep.
It is... just that quick. It's not like lighting kerosene. It's not like lighting petrol. This stuff just goes poof, and it's done. It's instantaneously. Once that first molecule goes, that chain reaction is so fast through the rest of it that it just goes poof, and it's done. And you have this fireball. You have this. You literally have this sonic boom come towards you. And when we're talking a balloon blown up no bigger than your fist.
Yeah, the energy potential from such a small amount of hydrogen is incredible.
Exactly. Now, if I had the same amount of gasoline, like gasoline fumes inside that balloon, and hit a match, it'd escape. It'd be nothing.
Yeah, you know?
Even if I had a balloon that big full of petrol, it wouldn't explode like that. It'd just sort of burn away a little.
It'd be an impressive fireball, but it wouldn't have nearly the explosive potential.
Flames all over the joint, but there'd be no big poof. Because with that hydrogen, mate, when she goes bang, as you all here, I think, will have felt it at least once in your life, that sonic boom is unmistakable for the amount of energy that's
there. Yeah, you and I did a video here a little while back where we blew up a hydrogen bubbler intentionally.
Yeah, I know.
And the energy potential in that is just mind-boggling. I mean, it's so loud that it overdrives the microphone, and instead of hearing an explosion, you hear like a pew, you know, because it's just so loud.
It was so loud that the second time we did it, Chaziz hit behind some half-inch thick perspex.
Yeah. So
not saying burp, burp, or anything. Just
I am. Hey, don't learn about electrical safety or explosions by accident.
Accident.
But the point.
That spark plug.
The point that I'm trying to make from this deal is that the energy is right there in front of you. The evidence of what we're talking about has been right there in front of you all along. You know, you got a microwave that's doing some amazing stuff. And if you can rock a water molecule fast enough to get it create friction and create heat, we're talking about creating friction in water. You know, if you can do that with water, you can imagine what else you can do. And
exactly.
You know, it's as simple as that. Anybody else want to talk for a while? Because I'm wearing down.
What? You mean you're actually running out of words? Is this?
No, my jaw's hurting.
Your jaw's hurting. Well, see, let me just, I want to throw a little bit of math out there for those of you. Because we've been, there's been a lot of thought and a lot of people's efforts been going into the Atmo mode over the last couple of weeks. And I just sort of want to reiterate on the mathematics behind the energy that is in the sky, because a lot of people don't understand how much energy is actually up there. And it's a very, very simple equation, and it's a very small equation, so don't everyone freak out and tune out. What you're looking at is you're looking at volts times amps will equal watts. Okay, so if, for instance, I say I had a 12-volt system, so like your car, and I had the equivalency of what's in your car battery in amps, which people say 600 amps, we're looking at a system that would hold roughly 7,200 watts of energy. And this is a good starting point to look at is watts, because this way it doesn't matter whether we're talking higher volts, higher amps, the math is there to show you a stock standard number. So even if I was to work on a sum now with 10 million volts at an amp, it would still come up with a stock standard watt value. So let's look at a small system before we go looking at lighting. So we'll look at a system like your car, which is 12 volts and approximately 600 amps in your battery, so you're looking at 7,200 watts. Now, that's enough to start the engine of your car without any problems at all. Now let's look at lightning. Let's say we're looking at a 10 million volt lightning strike, okay? And even if it only had 1 amp in it, which is kind of totally and utterly unlikely, we're looking more around like 30,000 amps, and you can actually research that and look that up on Wiki for yourself. That's actually a fairly standard number in science, 30 million volts. But we'll just humour the crap out of science, and we'll say that a lightning bolt of 10 million volts only has 1 amp. And let's do the math on that. So it would be volts times amps again. So 10 million volts multiplied by 1 amp gives us 10 million watts. Now, I only needed 7,200 to start my damn car before.
Yeah.
Now,
and with that amount, you'll smoke your starter.
What about
just remember, we're talking, now we're being overly conservative for science, because science is so perfectly correct all the time, that, you know, we have to be kind to it and say 1 amp instead of the 30,000 that it claims is in a lightning bolt. So now let's do the math on that. 10 million times 30,000. Who's got a quick answer?
Well, I'll tell you one thing's for sure. You'll put your starter into an alternate dimension if you fire it with that.
Exactly. My starter motor will end up in an entirely different time-space continuum when I try to start my vehicle. There's so much free energy there, it is just insane. Yet, science will turn around and say, what? Energy from the sky? Huh, don't be stupid. Well...
What was Mikko fixing to say?
Yeah, what was going on there?
We have a capacitor discharge, and we're talking about timing.
Yes.
The time that the energy discharges it is very little. So, I don't know, but it doesn't look like to me for that amount of time so many watts can be made.
Okay, so what you're looking at is the now we'll look at the sky and the Earth as being a capacitor. Okay, so the sky is one plate, the sky is one plate, the Earth is another plate, and everything else in between is a dielectric, is an insulator. All right, and exactly as you're saying, it needs time to build up a charge before it can do each lightning bolt. Okay, yep.
Yeah,
but some places on the Earth, it's 24 hours a day lightning's going on.
Yeah, hey, when I was in Indiana, I saw the greatest lightning storm of my life. Alright? Lightning I didn't even think was like, that happened on this planet, I got to see when I was in the States. Alright? And then this is where you need to be very strategic about where you would set up facilities like this, and Tesla was not too far away from Indiana. So, it was only a couple hundred miles to the east there.
One thing else to point out before you guys get too farther deep into that, when that energy releases occurs, there's one heck of an electromagnetic pulse that happens every time a lightning bolt strikes. You can prove this by discharging a capacitor into a coil right next to your radio. You can hear that discharge.
Yep. That'd be the crackle through your radio and the light. Yeah, exactly.
Let's say that we've got a capacitor at 24 volts.
Yeah.
And when you discharge it, short circuit, let's say you grab a screwdriver and touch it to see what happens.
Yeah.
You get the same pulse at about 100 amps.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter. You've charged it with 100 amps. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but see that sends a ripple.
You have to give a lot more credit to nature on how much energy she has stored up there.
Yeah, and that sends a ripple of energy that don't stop as soon as you discharge that. Even though you just release that energy from that capacitor, it sends a wave out in all different directions. So if you got 100 different radios out there and you got them all tuned in, and as soon as you discharge that capacitor, you're going to notice each and every one of those radios being disrupted by that energy wave that you just released from discharging that capacitor.
What do you think, Mitka?
Yeah, like the disturbances you hear on the phone when there is a lightning storm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
I think old Mother Nature has a lot more energy stowed up there than we give her credit for, and it sits somewhere outside of the dielectric voltage strength of our atmosphere, which allows it just to sit up there.
Well,
now, I mean, we know it's up there. The sun bakes, you know, another gazillion watts into our atmosphere every day. Like the energy's there.
And there's one other thing to point out as far as the energy quantity that's actually out there. When we talk about you're actually floating around in a sea of energy, you know, it's like that pebble in the pond that we keep talking about. When you throw a pebble in the pond, you send ripples across that pond. If you could see energy releases, you would see pretty much the same exact ripple going across the sky. You know, every time somebody keyed down on a microphone or, you know, discharged a capacitor or whatever, you know, you can see it on a magnetic field by putting magnet paper down next to a core, a coil or something, you know, you can actually see what's going on, those ripples. The same thing occurs every time you key down on a microphone. Now, depending on how much power you're putting to that when you key that down, is going to depend on how far that ripple goes out, as far as when it can actually be heard again, you know, to the point where it gets so weak you can't really pick it up. But it hasn't stopped. The energy doesn't stop. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'd like to add a little something to this. That magnetic field that's coming out of that, that's messing up your radio, if you can hear it in your radio, that means that it's doing something that it should not be doing. And that's also damaging to your body. These magnetic fields that we're working with and electrical fields that we're working with can be dangerous. They can be harmful if not controlled properly.
Well, and that's why with these systems that I'm talking about, as opposed to using brute force, you can reduce how much brute force magnetic field you actually need to get the job done, as opposed to the way it is now. I mean, you go walk through your house right now, you can take a meter through your house. You can buy them at like Radio Shack or Walmart. They're AC testers, wireless AC testers.
All you to take that, yeah.
Yeah, and you can walk through your house and you can find fields everywhere. And, you know, if you're laying in bed and you got a digital clock sitting right next to you, there's a field right there. If you got your light bulb going, you know, you got a field going around you depending on which direction that wire is strung through your walls. So there's fields all the way through your house. And depending on how much current flow is actually going through there at any given time will depend on how far that field can be picked up. It's still there. Even when you're not picking it up on the meter, the field is still there. The magnetic field, it doesn't disappear. It just gets weaker to where you need something more sensitive in order to pick it up. And the proof of this is, go out and get you two separate testers, two different brands. One of them will be way more sensitive to the other. And then you can take them, you can measure a field. Like, I can go stand underneath the power line and I can be 30 to 50 feet away from a power line and pick it up with one, and with the other one I can only be maybe 35 feet away from it and to pick it up. You see the difference there? But the wave is still there. So what he's saying is right. You know, I mean, you're floating around in a sea of these magnetic fields. But if you're using this energy properly, you don't have to force it, and you would notice a definite difference in the length of that field whenever you get done. It doesn't take as much to move it. You see what I'm saying?
And Mikko, I'm following you with what you're saying about the timing of the capacitance, but I think you need to give a little bit more credit to Mother Nature and how much energy she actually stores up in that upper atmosphere, because it's not going to be like rubbing a balloon on your hair when you
if you could
when we give the upper atmosphere a path to ground, even on a bright sunny day, mate, you can send a rocket up there that's going to with a little wire tracer, and that'll bring down a lightning bolt. And it doesn't matter whether it's a rainy day or a sunny day or anything else. So that energy is just sitting there, and yet,
if you could run,
I do believe that the only thing that actually stops that lightning discharge is the fact that little tracer copper wire absolutely obliterates the very first lightning bolt it gets. Otherwise, I got a funny feeling she'd sit there and keep striking.
Yeah, if you could rub the atmosphere on your hair, you would explode that pork and bean can.
Yeah, there's
a
test.
Is that how you fix your hair so well every morning?
Yeah. Like, rub some upper atmosphere on his forehead, and that's what happens.
That's it. I'm telling you, man. Ain't nothing like nature. Nature will fix your hair up real good.
Man, bunch of zits.
Yeah, if you could get that in a can, boy, wouldn't that be good? Spray that on there, big old static discharge, your hair stands up, and you're done.
chaser or others for around the room. It almost sounds like a marketable product, doesn't it?
Yeah, it'd be fun. It'd be a party deal, because you spray it on your hair and run around and touch people's ear. You wouldn't even have to touch their ear. You could be a foot away from them, you know, blow a black spot on their ear.
Speaking of fun science, does anyone know what Ryan Abrams has been up to this last week?
I've been watching some of the videos.
Making a flare exciter out of the
700 watt mode. No, close. It's a little bit smaller than that. Okay, so Ryan was down at the local hardware store about a week ago, and he had a flare exciter in his jacket, and he found it very amusing to walk around the light bulb department. So he's actually going to make himself a miniature version now, which he's been working on during the week. He intends to go back and just like start picking light bulbs up and putting them in his mouth and, you know, just totally freaking out patrons.
That's freaking cool, man. That is cool.
I have to give him 10 points for
that. I hope he gets that on video, man. That is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I want to do that, too.
You know, this is one of those pseudosciences that we're insane for doing, you know. It's just, you know, wireless energy transfer, you idiots. Like, it's only been since we have started developing this technology that other, like, mainstream companies, like Oral-B, brought out their rechargeable toothbrush, you know, that has little induction coils in it and crap. This wireless energy transfer is not being brought to light until, and I'm not just talking about us from Shazia's Radio when I say this, I am talking about the whole free energy community, guys. Since we've all been pulling into this and making big loud songs and dances about free energy, this is when some of this stuff has started to come back out to light, but they still hold it back. They still hold it back a lot. Like, you hear, you know, Tesla's name gets brought up a little more now, but still though, free energy and, you know, wireless transfer of energy to the darkest regions of the earth was apparently still a load of crap, but okay. We can live with that.
All right, we're going to have to build a Tesla ring, and that way everybody can go out and have fun lighting light bulbs up.
Yeah, exactly.
it'll have like a Tesla logo on it, and it'll be a nifty little coil built into a ring, and then whenever you put it anywhere near a fluorescent bulb, it'll light up.
That's
you know,
may the Schwartz be with you.
Yeah.
Interesting thing to do. Lighting up incandescent bulbs the same way.
You can. Yes. You can. Tesla did it. It's just a matter of hitting the right frequency. That's the whole key, guys.
See, every, and I've been through this tonight already once, is that everything's a vibration. Everything's a frequency. Now, every single length of wire has a frequency too.
Yep.
So a piece of wire that's inside your incandescent bulb, the little light bulb with the little filament through it, like the clear glass vacuum bulb, the little wire running through it, not these white fluorescent ones you got nowadays, but the old style with the little wire running through it, right? If you know the frequency of that piece of wire,
all you gotta do is find the specs and do the math.
Exactly. You can tune a circuit to resonate that piece of metal. Once you get that piece of metal to resonate, she will glow, because the electrons trying to flow across that piece of metal will be such an abundant amount.
Proof positive is the LED, man. The LED, you can light it up by resonating it, and it doesn't take very much energy at all to get that LED going. You can do...
The thing about the diode is it also doubles as an Avomenko plug.
Yeah.
Which not everyone knows what one of those is, but just briefly, it's two opposite pole diodes coupled together and using the loose ends as outputs. And basically all it is a multi-frequency antenna for use with high-frequency energy reception.
Yeah.
And you can do literally what it does. And I've seen a lot of people like that. They'll use the Avomenko plug and then I'll put the diode on the end, where you can actually just take the diode and put it straight to a matched coil and it'll be its own Avomenko plug.
Yep.
So there's a little bit of...
Inside the LED is a tungsten element. It's just smaller than the one inside the incandescent bulb.
Yep.
I would disagree with that.
He is half right and half wrong. There is a coupling made from tungsten, but the actual LED itself is
semiconductor.
It's something completely different to what a normal light bulb would be, but they are coupled with something a little bit stronger than copper.
Are you saying there's no tungsten in an LED?
I am not entirely sure if there is tungsten couples in an LED.
Somebody jump on Wiki, because I don't want to put out bad information.
Yeah. We're just going to, like, sail upon that one.
I think there
what is the membrane made from, Mitka? Come on.
I think you're there the is.
What?
What's the membrane in an LED made from?
The membrane, that grows.
Yeah.
I think it's the same material as a normal diode, but just the crystal structure is different.
Okay, so we have the epoxy case, wire band, so it's nothing specific what it's actually coupled with. Reflective cavity, so basically like a little shiny, you know, a little shiny mirrored surface you got in your torch. A semiconductor die, this is obviously the color, and an anode and a cathode.
I think all diodes are ultraviolet. They're just they have different dyes in them.
Yep.
Alright, then I got a hold of some bad information because I was told there was tungsten in them LEDs.
Well, that's okay. See, the internet will make us perfect because we know we need to clear up our crap, otherwise the internet's going to hunt us down and correct us for us. So, effectively the internet will only just make us perfect.
Either way,
we got this down pat, guys.
Either way, you still have that frequency that is vibrating at, creating the light.
And the good thing about the diode, as I said, is it's its own Overmanco plug. It'll rectify it, which will basically give it DC no matter what. So it doesn't matter whether you're talking, you know, AC, pulse DC, 10 hertz, or 1,000 kilohertz, you're still going to get DC out of, you know, to the actual cathode and anode, or to the semiconductor die. As you would require. So,
all right. Don't everybody talk at once.
Okay.
Just say the most efficient diodes are red orange.
Most efficient are red or orange, you think?
Yeah.
Tell us
about the red ones. I've heard that they have healing capabilities.
Like infrared, do you mean?
Yeah,
infrared, penetrating heat, Larry. Yeah, definitely. They use them in doctor surgeries and everything. I actually remember my mother going to have infrared treatment when I was a kid. So that's how long that's been around. For sure, but it's got to be infrared though, not red colors.
Okay, and that comes from the diode itself.
Yeah, you can actually buy infrared diodes, and they actually won't put out any light, but you'll feel some heat come off them.
Excellent.
Yeah. A lot of companies, like when they'll make a massager with an attachment for an infrared heater and that. They normally put a bunch of red LEDs in there so it looks like it's actually doing something. But in all retrospect, if they took those red LEDs out and just left the infrared LEDs, it's not called black light for no reason. You actually can't see it. It just comes out as nothing. It's the same stuff as our listeners would know infrared from the end of their television remote. Every time they press that button, an infrared signal goes from their TV remote to their telly, and they've never once seen that infrared signal. Same stuff. So, if you've got pain, especially deep tissue pain and things like that, definitely go the infrared, Larry.
Absolutely.
Doesn't have to be pulse, doesn't have to be anything special. Just, I would assume it's something you probably want to physically pay attention to. I'm no doctor, I've never dealt with doing infrared treatments. But like everything else, you know, you expose yourself to a frequency for too long could be detrimental, so...
I'll try that out.
Just putting it out there as a bit of a... I'm not sure, but just pay attention, yeah.
Well, we all know that different frequencies will either heal or hurt.
Destroy,
so,
yep.
You know, once we get in the right size or the right frequency, we got it whipped.
Yep, exactly. Yep. I'll always think back to Dr. Royal Rife and his Rife machine. Tune in on the frequency of a disease and kill it.
Yeah.
Leaving every other cell in the body completely and utterly untouched, unchanged. And yet, no, that technology can't exist either. It's funny how we had the backing of the entire medical community until one little smart aleck around the dining table said, hang on, but that makes us out of a job.
Yeah.
So from a couple of hundred people backing him, he ended up with two, and I believe they ended up with very difficult lives. So, you know, it's basically just what we're sitting here talking about, the frequencies. Again, Royal Rife machine was exactly that. He was able to take a virus, find its frequency, then aim at the body with that same frequency and destroy every cell at that frequency.
It seems like our jailers are only allowing us to use the things that are bad for us.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, like chemotherapy. You know, I mean, because pumping your body full of radiation while it's dying is probably, you know, like I can... Yeah, can't you see how that's going to be helpful, Larry? Like,
that kills 54% of the people that take it just from the radiation.
Exactly. Yeah, look at all the research that's gone come out of Europe with hemp oil treatments. Canada with hemp oil treatments. Australia with hemp oil treatments and cancer. I'm not pointing the finger at no one here, but I think someone might have a little bit of a vested interest in keeping chemotherapy alive.
Exactly.
Just saying. And it's certainly not the pot growers. It's an amazing world we live in sometimes, really. You know, I mean, I've been following this... all this hemp oil treatment stuff for a long time because it's not just deemed to be beneficial to cancer patients. I, as most of you boys know, suffer a very bad case of fibromyalgia, and the number one treatment for getting me to eat properly and for my muscles to relax and all the rest of it is a bit of the old Mary Jane. Yet it's illegal in my country, and for that, no matter how much research I place in front of people who otherwise you would consider to be perfectly apt and smart people, I can put all this research and information in front of them and still be told, I don't care, I don't want to see you do it.
Back on the LED, it's a solid semiconductor, but what is the metal inside of it? Does anybody know?
It has 95% of the periodic table inside. there is not one.
I'm sorry, but yeah. We could come up with that answer.
No way.
I know you're telling the truth, Mikko. It's just not out of the it's just not out of the usual for us to go looking for an answer and be told half the periodic table. You know. Something you grow to expect in this lab.
All right. Well, regardless, it does have a frequency in there that is vibrating, and it doesn't
on the plus side for you, though, Shaziz, if it's got 95% of the periodic table, there must be some titanium in there. There must be some tungsten in there. You're laughing, bro.
There it is. I'm reading it right now.
There you go, Shaziz. Rest easy, brother.
There is diamonds in there.
That's it. I've had enough of scrap gold off circuit boards. From now on, boys, I want all your used LEDs.
Yeah.
Nah, not really. I haven't got that much time. Oh, that's gold.
Alrighty, then.
Tungsten. I would like a copy of this list, Midgar. I think this is something that would be very interesting to go over, is the actual content of what is in the semiconductor portion of an LED, considering 95% of the periodic table's in there. That's great.
Yeah, there's got to be a more specific deal in there.
Well, given the makeup of LEDs over the years, is 95% of the periodic table actually sounds fairly plausible.
Yeah, and
they use very, very broad concoctions of a lot of different materials.
I probably got some good information at one point, and it went awry because they changed the semiconductor inside.
look at them now. They're into OLEDs, which are those organic LEDs. They use like a piece of plant matter, like man-made plant matter inside the thing.
Man.
Are you kidding me?
Well, I think anything will glow if you hit
it
right.
Like DNA computers.
I think you'll glow if you hit it right.
We glow anyway. That's what our oil is.
I was going to say, I glow anyway. Sorry.
Well, I do got a brilliant personality.
It's my glowing smile, see?
Yeah, it's that charisma.
Yeah, it's from the uranium mines.
What do you say?
Yes, right. Uranium mines.
What do you say we...
That's the reason I glow.
What do you say we take a quick music break and get some coffee? I'm a wearing down. I need to take a breather.
Affect me.
Meanwhile, don't be glowing in the dark. I did a funny video a long time ago called "Glowing in the Dark." You go take a look at it. Anyway, we're going to play a couple tunes and we'll be back. Peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned.
Turn it up. I'm a
Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap! Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yeah, could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Well, it was a
bear. Watch your tongue, young man.
This big, and it sort of sounded like one of those. Sitting over there.
Watch your tongue, young man.
How are you,
oh, man. I'm feeling polluted, man. I should have got me some liquor or something.
Under a low intensity field for a while.
Yeah, that's what I need. I need Rife's machine. If I could ever get a hold of one of Rife's machine, I'd be sitting in front of that all day.
Why don't you run up the house there and grab you a bottle of booze, and I'll continue to roll on here.
I don't think I have any.
Oh, what?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the economy, stupid. Oh. Oh, man. What a world we live in.
Now, for those of my local listeners who wonder why I'm encouraging old mate to go have a drink, well, it's not like, you know, he'd be starting at midnight like I would be.
Oh, yeah.
What time is it for you, Shaziz?
9:22 a.m.
Perfect time for a beer.
Yeah.
What?
Anyway, I just took a couple pain pills, so that ought to give me some intelligence.
Oh. While we're here, I've got a little bit of paper that I happened to find. I jotted this down just before I left, Shaziz. Northwest 120th Street. In your local area. We're going to say hello to whoever lives out there. And say thank you very much for showing your interest in Shaziz Radio.
Huh.
But we're not all that interested in, well, let's say, accepting your needless attacks on our PCs.
Oh, so you find
not everyone's as intelligent as Colty. And if you're going to try and add me so that you can do fanciful things to my computer, maybe, I'm just thinking, maybe you want to, I don't know, route your IP a few times.
So we got a local hooligan, hey?
Yeah, I've got their address for you if you'd like it. They've got a nice little farmhouse. I Google mapped them.
Cool.
Yeah. It was nice of their ISP to give it all up.
Where were they at?
They're just down the road from Shaziz's.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why I made it all the more interesting. So, Northwest 120th Street. Hello! You suck.
I'd go down and say hi to them.
Yeah, I got the address here. I got the map coordinates, too, for it, because I was like...
Maybe that's where the people who were in your yard the other night with that air compressor live.
Could very maybe. Well be.
Maybe. Hey, maybe it was all a setup.
I got a grievance with you, Thomas.
With me?
Yeah. Yep. You sent me to watch a video, and after watching that video, I think I'm mentally ill.
Oh, come on. Let me guess. It was the Vacuum Consortium video?
Yeah. That last exchange between the two mad science guys, it is like, oh, man, I can't take it. What's going on?
There is something I'm out of.
I watched the whole thing, consortium. Though. I stayed all the way to the very end. I was a glutton for punishment, but my brain was like twitching back and forth. I was like, felt like I had Tourette's or something. Anyway, I just
you know it's serious when Shaziz makes a statement like that.
Yeah.
I've only ever seen him, and it was funny because it was like we're all on the nights, and Shaziz was sending us out for the week to no matter what we did. No matter how hard it was to hold ourselves back, not leave a trollish comment on someone's video.
Yeah.
So me and Shannon, we're coming through YouTube one day, and we come across this video of with Shaziz's comment under it saying, "My head hurts now."
Yeah.
And we're looking at each other going, "What?" So we're like, this video's gotta be watched. You just go, "What? Where did Shaziz..." Nah, this isn't right. So we watched the video. You know the video, don't you, Shaziz? You know straight away.
Oh, yeah.
There's this chick, and she is doing one of those, one of those, you know. You'd probably do a better Shazizz, wouldn't you? But she was looking at the clock face, and she noticed that there was 3, 6, 9, and 12, and the 3 went into the 6, and the 3 went into the 9, and I don't know, she just rambled on this stuff for like 45 minutes of how the whole universe was coming together on this clock face for her, and she was like, look, you know, I'm open-minded and all, but there does come to be a point where you've got it right. My head hurts now.
Yeah.
Or I want my 5 seconds back.
Well, I don't think there's any refunds in life on your time.
There's certainly funds on YouTube, buddy.
Anyway, there's a lot of good, wonderful knowledge out there, man, and I just think it's exciting, the point in history that we're at right now, because there's a lot of cool things going to be coming out on video here pretty doggone soon. And I'm actually working up a model for a building out here on my property where we can get together and do some mad science together. What do you guys think of that?
Excellent.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make this thing windproof, too.
Yeah, it's probably not a bad idea, are they?
Yep. So, anyway, anybody got anything new to bring to the mad science table?
I'm just going to throw out there Mitko's comment in chat just now, and he said, so, you guys have probably seen my comments? Awkward.
Yeah,
Mitko, I follow you around YouTube just to read them.
Yeah. We're stalking the stalker.
they passed the coffee time of my morning.
I've posted a few links down here from a friend of mine, Ken Heath, and he has done some unique things with hexagonal tapered coils that I'd like to have you guys' input on these things. Look at the pictures.
I was paying a little bit of attention to this during the week. I saw it posted up, this exact model. So this is obviously your friend's.
Yes.
Well, I think geometry and coils go hand in hand. It's blatantly obvious when you look at the Tesla coil being cylindrical that there's something to be said there.
Absolutely. All these coils will do something, and it's just that they all do something different, and it's all amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, we've really got to take a step back from like electromagnetism and radio waves and all the rest of it, and go back to realizing that we're harnessing energy. That's pretty freaking amazing just in itself, so maybe we need to take more finite attention to what we're actually working on. There's things going on under there that average Joe's not noticing.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, we're not creating it, just like the laws of physics can't be created nor can it be destroyed. We're just tapping into it, and it's a matter of how you're going to tap into it, what results you're going to get.
Cannot be created nor destroyed, only converted into something else, which means I can take any amount of energy from the universe and I can turn it into motion, I can turn it into heat, I can turn it into light, I can turn it into sound, I can turn it into bodily gases if necessary. I can do whatever I want with it. It's there.
Hey, even bodily gases send out a wave, man, and sometimes it's not a pleasant one.
It's normally a low resonation. You get in the high frequency.
Brown frequency.
Yeah, you're in the Brown's frequency. If you get in the high frequency, well, you're either very young or...
Can't we all just get along, man? For Pete's sake. I know this is mad science, but we're going to get into the mad science of methane before too long, and then I'll get on one of them global warming rants.
And I'll tell... And then Shazizz is going to have to explain to you all how the caveman killed the dinosaur.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, because, you know... You know, go watch the video.
Given all the theories that are out there, Shazizz, yours holds some merit, dude. Let's just be honest.
Well, you think about it. Dinosaurs are huge, man. You know, the quantity of methane from a cow as opposed to the quantity of the methane from a dinosaur would be self-explanatory. You sure wouldn't want to be lighting a match in any general vicinity of a dinosaur. Gassy expulsion.
What's on
high oxygen atmosphere?
So, I believe that that's as plausible as any other theory out there. So go watch Caveman Kill the Dinosaur on Shazam's Mad Son.
My favorite. My absolute
that's
favorite.
Why the dinosaurs died off, because somebody farted and lit a match
that's
back
what
then.
That's what I
burned
said.
Burned the world.
The caveman
Shazam
was,
has a whole video on yeah. it, Larry. But he explains that the size of dinosaurs, they contaminated the Earth's atmosphere. And caveman invented fire, and at that moment, extinct the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Love him.
And the caveman...
It's got to be true, it was on YouTube.
No, yeah. Do you know what the greatest part of that video is? Is how often he links it on other people's videos.
Yeah.
they're like, the Big Bang. This is how this happened. And this is like, yeah, man. This is how the dinosaurs got extinct, all right?
Yeah.
I find that video just randomly stalked all over.
And so if you could build a time machine and go back in time to see the surprised look on that on that caveman's face as his hair was smoking, you know, and all the dinosaurs are gone, you know, hey, that's all I got to say about that, man. But, you know, come on.
Good, I love it.
You know how have you noticed how people say that's all I've got to say an awful lot?
Yeah. Well, if you think I'm joking, go get you a tank of methane and let it loose as a, you know,
no, do
the experiment and rub two sticks together. As soon as you hit that spark in that cloud of methane, well, hey, you're gonna find global warming in a hurry, at least in your general vicinity.
Is that how to start a campfire?
Yeah. And if the lantern can falls, catches on fire, do not, and I repeat, do not run over and stomp on it. Anyway, back to reality here. So, we got a lot of projects in the works, and I got a lot of good ideas, and I can't wait to get back with Ryan when I'm feeling better, because he's had a few videos with his Slayer Exciter out recently, and then that thing he was telling
me about.
He was
hanging out with you.
Yeah. Where is Ryan this morning?
Ryan, I believe, is tucked away in Betty Buys, mate. He was talking to me to the wee hours of the morning, you know, the whole split time zone thing from one side of the world to the other, I you know.
You know, that's
to keep people past their bedtime.
That's one thing about mad scientists. You're liable to catch them any time, day or night. But then again, after they've been up for a week, then they go to bed for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're all getting used to that with me.
But we're right there on it, man. I'm 100% positive that we're right there on the edge of being able to put something out there.
We are. We are, and as an update to everyone, because not even my YouTube subscribers know this little tidbit yet, because I haven't told anyone. The only person I told was the Knights, pretty much, and that is that a Wimsource generator was put on order today.
All right.
Oh, yeah. So we are halfway there to completing the Atmo motor, so... Next project in the works is the is to acquire ourselves a 3D printer, and other than that, we're home and hosed.
Well, I've got a few ideas on that. When we get together with our mad science group, we can figure all that out. But in the meantime, the experiments will continue. Go ahead.
Would your motor work better if it were made out of styrene? Since styrene is like the best dielectric you can get. It's got the strongest resistance to, and it's the strongest insulator when it's pure that you can get.
If you could get it balanced perfect enough, then it would work.
Okay, so if we get just
styrofoam does tend to store static energy, though, does it not? Or be attracted? Well, I know there's something with styrofoam because every time I get styrofoam packing,
it's right, it's not storing it. It's the fact that it won't, when it generates on the surface somewhere, it doesn't allow it to move. It just kind of sits there in one spot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it will get staticky as a foam. I'm not sure why it is that styrene itself doesn't generate quite as much static as styrofoam. I'm sure it probably has something to do with the porous nature of it, so it's probably got a lot more surface area to work with for storage.
The trick is getting some bearings in, having them leveled out enough to where they're going to be able to move really smoothly.
Right. Well, I was just thinking it's not that hard to turn styrene
into solid objects. You know, there's tons of styrofoam laying around all over the place, and a gallon of xylene is like $20. So you could, that's basically you're looking at like about a foot and a half square block of solid styrene you can basically mold by just pouring it into shapes.
You can cut it with hot wire.
Yeah.
And that's pretty easy.
Well, it'd be worth it.
One of my ideas was to build a 3D printer. You build a 3D printer and you run styrene and xylene through an inkjet head and put this all inside of a container and pull the air that's basically drying the styrene up through a cooling coil so you can recondense the xylene so you can reuse it. You can just keep basically put more styrofoam in it and run it through the inkhead.
It'd be definitely worth a try.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, like always, give it a go.
Right. Ultra high resolution with, you know, ink, obviously, you can mix other things into it. They mix things into styrofoam all the time for usually to keep it from degrading under UV light, because you know, styrofoam is so incredibly, you know, thin amounts of styrene all puffed up into an air-like structure. So you don't, if you have just a tiny bit of it that breaks down from the UV rays from laying out in the sun, it basically just, you know, it turns into powder. So a block is a lot harder for that to happen with, but you can mix other things into it to make it drain its electrical charge too. Like some carbon black, you know, mm-hmm. or what they call lamp black, because that's pretty conductive. So that should get it to discharge, make it dump any of its charge that you want to go somewhere else away. So, but I mean, even if we can get just like a couple of the parts made, I can probably make a mold pretty easily off of those parts. I haven't seen the parts yet, but it shouldn't be too hard with some silicone rubber and. Then just cast the rest up, you know.
Yeah. Well, the next print will be of the large Atmomator, so
mm-hmm.
I don't even have a copy of that. Like, I've got the files, but I don't have a solid object for you to mold from, unfortunately.
Well, I would like to see an injection molding made that could, you know, mass produce them.
Right. Yeah, you can do that with styrene, too. So you can do injection molding with a lot of plastics. Most plastics are thermoformable.
Anyway, when we actually get a physical lab, we still got to get the bugs worked out for virtual lab. But when we get a physical lab, I would like to actually sit down and start creating some new machinery that we could not only use to fund the lab, you know, by selling off the machinery or whatever, but... actually build our own tools. I know a factory that's not too far down the road from me that's how they started off, and they had their own machine shop, and every machine that they had in there they built on site, and it was pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that we could do this, you know.
Of course it's not. We just need all of us in one place.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
We do that.
If we're all in one place at one time, then, you know, simple.
We just gotta.
Now you see why I'm staring at these boring numbers that you introduced me to, cultist.
Hey?
We just gotta get.
That's why you see I'm staring at these boring numbers that you introduced me to.
You're talking about cryptocurrency exchange numbers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not much different than stock market exchange.
Coins. Sorry. Gotta plug them. Gotta have 2 seconds, Shaziz.
All right, go ahead.
Noble coin, the latest, greatest cryptocurrency in existence. Although many will disagree and say Dogecoin might be the way at the moment. Noble coin has had a solid dev team.
Did you
say
one?
They have done nothing but work very, very hard.
Did you say Dogecoin?
That doesn't take away from Dogecoin being the coin right now. The only thing that people aren't getting is that these coins are. They come and go.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if Dogecoin stays solid, it's still going to sink to a leveling point at some point, like Bitcoin did.
Exactly.
And if you look at Dogecoin's fluctuations versus Bitcoin, they're much wilder than Bitcoin. And that's eventually what will end up happening with Noblecoin whenever Noblecoin hits, like, you know, BTC 38, and it goes wild. because the big thing to be noticed is that Noblecoin has a development team that's not going to give up.
Exactly.
That's the point of success. You
and
know?
given the little bit of information that you and I both know about the development team, this current mm-hmm. moment in time, some absolutely great and awesome things could be just around the corner for Noblecoin without any play of the imagination whatsoever.
Well, the thing is, too, though, if you're wanting to really make money off of getting into a coin, you've got to get in before it gets in on a big exchange.
Before it gets huge. Yeah, which at the moment, right. You know, I mean, Noblecoin's still sitting around 16 Satoshis because of the recent things that have been going on with it, which is good. It's a good position to get into.
It's a lot higher than Carbon Coin.
I can
Carbon
now,
Coin's below one.
Well, yeah, Carbon Coin flopped. That's that simple. And that's sad because we both know one of the people who picked up the development of that coin later. I'm not sure that the person they went in with was necessarily holding up their end of the bargain, but that's not here nor there or anything otherwise.
Right.
But now I can actually put this out here now because this is public, is that one of the developers of Noblecoin has landed themselves a job being the head of the first cryptocurrency hedge fund. For some huge financiers, them I'm not allowed to disclose, but let's say it's not far removed from people that you and I might just absolutely and utterly despise. Okay? But
which puts us in that position you were talking about, of buying the world back finally.
Exactly. It puts us in the position to take their money from them. Exactly. We've always wanted them to come to this table. This is our...
voluntarily.
This is our Forex table. This is our trade table. You want to come play here with the big boys? You come play with the big boys.
Right. This is all our Wall Street. So.
That's exactly what this is, our Wall
Street.
The
difference, though, is there won't be a total crash. No matter how bad the coins drop in value during that particular time, the market keeps going.
Exactly.
Wall Street, they get things get too low. They go, pull the plug, quick, pull the plug.
As we were discussing with Larry just during the break, was that you've got almost non-existent transaction fees. Like, we're talking... Mm-hmm. Percentages of percentages.
Well,
you know,
I will say, if you do a trade on a good trading platform, you literally divide or you multiply whatever you just got by 0.999. That means they are taking for every dollar that you traded, they're taking 1/10 of one penny.
Yeah.
In exchange for letting you do the trade.
Exactly.
Nowhere. Not even penny stocks is that cheap. Yep. Nowhere is that
and
cheap.
And there's no one sitting at a central computer who can go, bip, you don't have your money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because the entire network is supported by the entire public.
Right. Well, you mean like there's no central bank that can
There's no central person who can sit there and go, beep, we don't like you, you don't exist.
Right. Well, and
we don't like it. We're taking some money off you.
Right. If you need inflation because there are more people using the coins, the whole collective of people have to agree. It's not one of those things where, like, you know, one guy is sitting behind a big Walmart desk and say, "Let's just make some more money." Puff, puff, puff. We want to pay some national debt off. Puff, puff, puff. Well, what about all those people's money that they have now? I mean, won't that make it worth less money? Of course. Puff, 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 puff. You know, that's the whole joke.
Yep.
It's a joke on everybody is that, you know, you're making $7 an hour and you're going, God, it's so hard to survive on $7 an hour. What happened over the last 3 years? Oh, it's these, you know, greedy companies raising their prices. No, it's because somebody put more money in the money supply and now the companies have to have more of that money per item. So, you know.
Whereas there's a predetermined amount of any coin that can ever be made, for instance, Bitcoin.
Unless the entire collective
decides
to allow...
They will agree.
They have to decide, yes.
Yeah. But it has to be everybody. It can't just be a percentile. It has to be a majority.
I think it has to be like 51%.
It has to be the majority, the 51%.
It's
so you can change the network.
Who barfed in the chat room?
When you're talking something with Bitcoin, when you're talking something as large as Bitcoin, you know... Your algorithm's pretty much set, because unless you're going to come up with something so fantastic that everyone leaps out of their chair at once to go, oh, I don't want that.
Who barfed in the chat room?
Sorry, buddy.
Somebody barfed in the chat room.
They did, earlier. It was Stephen.
You have to clean that up, you know.
Oh, he was listening to you talking about being sick, and you made him spew, so I reckon you should get in there and clean it.
Oh, no. That'll make me spew again.
There'll be shizzies cleaning up his spew. Spewing more, cleaning that spew. Spewing
more. We all just get along for Pete's sake.
I don't have the web page up because it's my computer's resources too much.
Anyway, back to Mad Science. You know, I love all this Bitcoin
this
stuff.
This is Mad Science because this will pay for everybody's research, shizzies.
All right. Well,
everybody needs to put themselves on at least one cryptocurrency, I believe.
Okay, you're gonna have to get me set up whenever you get back over.
Well,
that's a key.
I certainly will.
We gotta get you back here anyway, so we can work out the bugs, man.
In fact, after the show, I'll quite graciously give you like 1,000,000 coins for the fun of it, shizzies.
1,000,000 coins.
Then, give you 1,000,000 coins.
Then what do I do with that?
Then you sit on it until the day I jump up and down screaming, God says, we made it, we're rich!
Yeah, I don't know. I think you should teach him how to use the coins.
Yeah, longer. I think
it could be a little frustrating.
Make it our mission to, for those of us already involved in coins, to make sure the knights are involved in coins as well.
Right.
Yep, most certainly. And then from there, I think we'll work it as a bit of a pay-it-forward situation, mm-hmm. where we're expected each to go out and, you know, pass this on, get another person. Like, you know, I've got my handful under my belt. As soon as I come across cryptocurrency, I was like, he's all going to get in on this. Money.
Holy
well, it's God. Not quite that. It's not quite that simple. It is an investment situation. You know, like the Noble Coin, I've been mining them since what? Like, October last year,
almost day one.
Yep. Right. And now we're halfway through this year, and I'm still tipping about another 6 to 12 months before I see anything good. But when I see something good, I'm going to see. I can guarantee the least I'm going to walk out of this with is $7,000. The most I can walk out of here with, well, I can't tell you. Could be four.
That's kind of an unknown thing.
Could be $70,000.
$500,000.
Could be $700,000. Could be $7 million. Could be. Who knows? I'm certainly not going to complain if Noblecoin reaches a couple of bucks. You know, I mean, by all strokes of imagination, I think about 50 cents is going to be a reasonable figure.
Right.
You know.
It all comes down to the math, which, you know, we all know that when it comes down to science, you have to use math to get things done
math.
Right.
Yep.
So.
Yep. But.
We'll get exercise on that at least.
If each person here gets involved with cryptocurrency, if you and I advocate to get these guys involved, and then they advocate to get someone else involved, the bottom line is that if we so choose, we can trade in these currencies. I will literally anything I ever put up for sale. You ever see me put anything up for sale? It you can assume it's also available for cryptocurrency. Because
right.
I would actually prefer to get cryptocurrency from you than fiat money from the government, who's going to track it, going to tax me, going to complain on my social security about it, going to get into that pie about it, going to stick their hand up that side of it, take another dollar out. Get in there.
I was going to say, how about we take a look at the taxation thing, just so people are really aware? Because most people think, oh, well, they just tax me whenever, you know, I get paid, and then I'm free. It's like, really? They take some money before you even get your money. Then whenever you go to spend it, they take some more money. Then if they see that you have that item that you spent money on, they take some more money every year.
Yep.
In 10 years, they've taxed you by 200%. Mm-hmm. For every dollar you made, you paid $2 in taxes on it.
Yep.
So yeah, this puts a stop to that.
It does.
Cold hard, which means that the thing that's been holding back things like, you know, people building another Wardenclyffe will finally be, you know, lifted off of our heads so we can do something.
Exactly. The money will just be floating.
So
you need it? Do it.
So we got alternative energy, we got alternative money, we got alternative food, we got alternatives to everything on Shaziz Radio and Awake
That's
Radio
right.
and all the
we
other
We are at the cutting
networks.
Edge of technology, ladies and gentlemen. Just so slam.
Jump on the bandwagon. Yay.
Yep, cryptocurrency is the way forward. It breaks you away from the government, it breaks you away from banks, and it breaks you away from the poor bastards and the families.
But hey, just put it this way, it breaks you away the same way that alternative energy and being off the grid breaks you away from the power company.
Exactly.
So, yeah. It'll free you.
Breaks you away from that.
If you're listening to us, your mind's already free. Let's free the rest of you, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
For anyone interested in more mad science later on this afternoon, if I'm still alive, I'm supposed to be on Patty Walking Turtle's show there on Awake Radio, so if anybody wants to join in on some mad science there, that'd be cool.
Well, we're going to try to do that after hours mad science, too, Sunday at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time.
Cool.
Another long day for Cody.
We're down to the last 9 minutes of the show, man. 8 minutes now.
Wait, is that cool? It just rolled on by.
Yeah.
Hey, how about we get some plans online for what you're talking about there? Is there any way we can do that?
You mean like for the building and all that?
Yeah. Let's get some of that together and post it on the show. If you get me some, some kind of, even if it's just chicken scratch blueprints, I'll throw together a rendering
so people can really get
a good 3D view of what they're looking at.
I'll get some diagrams going on, and we can actually do a video of it. And actually, I want to have this thing wired ear to ear with camera systems so that we can have the virtual labs combined with it. And from start to finish, it's going to be totally off the grid, so we won't have to worry about any electric bill. We will be producing on-site our own energy and going from there, showing everybody how to do it step by step. And people will be able to see real-time experiments live, you know, and anytime another researcher wants to join in, all they got to do is jump on a bus or a plane or a car, planes, trains, and automobiles, and start heading this direction, and we'll get it all sorted out.
What do you think about my idea of having RV hookups so that basically people can drag an RV with, like, say, you know, half living quarter and half you know, workshop?
Oh, I love it.
Up and just kind of set up on a pad there, because that was my idea initially, and I still want to do that.
I love it.
So.
And, you know, as far as water, we have no problem.
You know what this is? Your dream that you had several months ago about, you thought it was an apocalyptic dream that everyone rocked up to your place in camper vans and everything else, and you thought it was to get away from impending doom. Do you know what Dame Shannon's suggestion was for that dream, that it was all of us rocking up to do research in our camper vans?
Well, that would be better.
You know what?
Well, we are in the middle of an apocalypse. I mean, just look outside. There's zombies everywhere, people keep forgetting to put the I in front of that zombie.
Not all my visions are interpreted correctly, because I wrote down. I actually got the date written down. I wrote down a note that the law enforcement would be showing up at my house soon, and I thought that they were showing up to give me a rash, but it turns out that they weren't showing up to give me a rash. They were turning up because some jerk left a stolen air compressor in my driveway and peeled out. And there's another thing. If you're the guy that peeled out across my driveway is listening right now, stay off my lawn!
At Northwest 120th Street, we know where you live.
That's probably who it was.
Hey, some retractable spikes all around your property.
That took a lot of energy out of me.
I think we are our own greatest martyrs. Yep. Just saying.
Don't drop your stolen merchandise in my driveway.
Yeah. Drop it around the back.
Here.
But either way, I did document it. I documented it a couple of days prior to when the actual incident occurred, and so it was there.
Oh, my word.
I always do that whenever I have one of those visions. I write it down, so I can come back later and say, see, I told you. That maybe it was an apocalyptic scene. Maybe it was what you're talking about. Hopefully that's the case.
Oh, I got a funny feeling it'd be more along those lines.
Well, it sounds plausible.
Well, I don't say it'll be one of those things, though. I think, you know, like I said, we're we're in, I don't know, I mean, you know, Hollywood makes everything look so much more dramatic than it actually is. You know, like I said, you see The Walking Dead or Return of the Living Dead or any of these other zombie movies, and then you look outside and you see these, you know, these people all the way from, you know, from the middle-aged people all the way down to, you know, the young kids walking around just staring at their phone, you know, with their mouth hanging open. I mean,
that's, you know, pretty dramatic.
It's not as dramatic, but it's still just as dangerous, you know. It's still just as destructive to our you know, our culture, our people.
Well,
so,
regardless of all that, if the apocalypse ever does come, just show up at Shazuz's house. It'll be the one with the lights on. I guarantee you, man. I ain't going to be in the dark.
Man, it's
going to
be the same for all of us. No matter where you are, you see a light on, it's going to be a good bloke test.
Yep.
Right. Because ain't none of the bastards going to know how to do it. It's only going to be the us who have been busting our butts all these years will be able to turn around and go, yeah, that's easy.
Right. So,
and those of them who are able to do that and aren't so nice will be underground.
Yep. And as far as the way that we use electricity, we're changing that. So get ready, guys and gals out there, because your inefficient appliances, they need a little bit of tweaking, and we're getting ready to do that.
Yeah.
So,
really sucks when you got to throw out everything you own for a new power source.
Yep. But hey, you know, at least
that's what they make inverters for.
Yep. Exactly.
That was just one step. They'll come up with something. So
anyway, we're down to the last 2 minutes of the show, man. You guys got anything you want to say there?
Yeah, as usual, stay safe, be good, you know. Other than that, come out during the week and check out my website, which is Kultus, kultus.weebly.com. And from there you'll find links back to just about everyone, all our radio shows, lots of our research, and everywhere else. So, yeah, don't know what else to throw in this week. I'm a little... Yeah. So, Thomas, what you got, bud?
You pretty much said it all, so...
Yeah, all right, so go with what I said, and Larry.
You got to unmute his mic.
Got to unmute his mic again. It's time for us to all spread the word. Get one other person. Open their eyes.
Yep.
It's real.
Yep.
It's available everywhere. It's in the sky. You can see it in nature. Everything that moves generates.
Yep.
And everything moves.
Yeah.
What about Mitko?
I'm going to go with Kultus.
Cool.
Everything I said.
Everything,
yep.
Everything Kultus said, you can find on ShazuzRadio.com. There's links, and all of our YouTubes are connected in there somewhere. And so with that said, you've been listening to the Mad Science Show, and stay tuned. Hopefully I feel better for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. And I apologize for being kind of out of it, but I've been in bed for a week.
I was
going
to feed him full of Boone and coffee and send him on his way anyway.
Yeah, she's going to get me liquored up, man.
I'm already sending a message
sure
off to Mama as we speak.
All right.
Make sure there's some lemon and honey in it.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Anyway, peace and love, everybody. Stay tuned for the Hope Show. We'll get the podcast up right after all that. And you've been listening to the Mad Science, and stay tuned for the Knights of the Round Table tomorrow. Take care. Peace and love, everybody.
Oh, crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
0.21 gigawatts!